Hey, I'm James Bowers, and this song is called Celia. Times and circumstance will humbly wait the day. Will come a time when they appear, show their pretty face. When that happens, I won't know what to say. The wood grain is uneven on the cold apartment floor, and sanded lines of railroad ties won't do anything more. The rooms, they aren't that smooth, my feet feel torn. Celia, Celia, you're the only one who can make me go. Back to my flat on the third floor. Laps across the map when you cannot be seen. I hold my breath and I take a step, float as in a dream. But things aren't as concrete as they may seem. Waiting for the train to whistle and spew its thick black smoke, watching as the passerbys cough and start to choke. Passengers laughing like it's a joke. Celia, Celia, you're the only one who can make me go. Whoa, whoa. Back to my flat on the third floor. Come back to my flat on the third floor. Come back to my flat on the third floor.
Broadcasting live from NoHo 2 Studio, it is the Enter the Shell Show, and I'm joined by James Bowers, which you can find on his website, jamesrbowers.com. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and you just played the title track off of your EP, Celia.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like the EP that is going on very strong. It's the EP that could, as I like to call it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you've been getting up to what, like 50 radio stations playing the EP?
I think, yeah, it's up to like 75 now. So
I was
hey, don't shortchange me. I'm just saying.
So tell me about that. This CD is what, more than a year or so old, and already it's getting major play.
Actually, it's only been out released for a couple weeks now. It's been out for about, I want to say, a month. But the EP itself is years in the making. There's been countless songs that might have gone on the EP and then didn't go on the EP and was going to go on the EP and then in the end was scratched. So, you know, the first song, the title track, I mean, I wrote, I think, 10 years ago. So, yeah, it's a long time coming.
The title track, Celia, you said you wrote 10 years ago. tell me about the evolution of that song. Is it still in its essence?
Yeah, really very little of it has changed. From the original recording, which was done in Chicago in an attic, it was basically just myself on guitar and a violinist. And then, you know, when I re-recorded it, basically we had a piano player that came in and who actually then introduced me to Adrian, who's playing cello right now. And then she came in and did this beautiful rendition of what the violinist did originally. It just kind of evolved from there. So,
yeah, what I like too is that this EP kind of incorporates a motto that I think I heard from you, which is, if I fail, let me fail greatly.
Yeah, that's actually from a Teddy Roosevelt speech from a long time ago. I think it's a nice way to live and a motto to live by that, you know, as long as you're doing what all you can and doing, giving it your best, you know, if you fail, you fail. If you succeed, you succeed. And that's great. But either way, you know, you can't really be upset with yourself because you left everything on the floor.
So for you, do you welcome failure?
I definitely have experienced plenty of it in my lifetime. And it's just nothing that I'm really scared of. Who knows if 20 years down the line, I'm just playing, you know, in little rinky dink clubs, you know, in Wyoming, that's fine. I'm just happy playing music. And it really doesn't necessarily need to be about, you know, fame and fortune and things like that.
And here's another thing that I like about you. It seems that just good things happen to you. You know,
I appreciate that's something you like about me.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe something that'll rub off on me, I don't know. I'll grab a lock of your hair or something. Keep it with me. But you actually got signed to Common Market Media, right?
Yeah.
And here's what I like is that the main guy, who's it, Paul
Brusek.
Yeah, Paul Brusek. Did he sign you directly?
Yeah.
And now, for those that don't know who Paul is, he's a major stud. Like, this guy is now, like, involved with Warner Brothers now, right?
Yeah, when I originally met Paul, he was the president of music at New Line Cinema. And then when he and I had entered our agreement at Common Market was after New Line had gone through a restructuring and he had gone out on his own. And then while we were recording this EP, suddenly I pick up my producer in my car one day and he goes, oh, did you read Deadline? No, why? What's going on? He goes, oh, Paul is now the president of music at Warner Brothers Film. I'm like, oh, well, that's nice. That's something I can work with. And sure enough, he was actually meeting us that morning and he was about 45 minutes late. And so the first thing that came out of my mouth was, oh, what? So you're a big hotshot president now. You can be late. That's how you're going to treat me? He's a great guy and he, you know, has deserved everything that good that's come to him. So, I think it's a good kind of coupling as far as, our music is concerned.
Now, is he still involved with you now?
Yeah, yeah. I keep in regular contact with him. He and I, you know, he still maintains kind of a stake in this company. And he and I still hash out creative things, we're still very much in contact.
Does he have plans for you to start, for your music to start being featured in films?
I hope so. that'd be really nice. That's kind of the plan. I mean, I think that's kind of the plan with most musicians, but it's just to get it out there really is just the main thing, just to get people to hear it. That's all I desire. So in whatever format that comes,
whether it's, you know, film or TV.
Film, TVs, a Volkswagen commercial, if playing, you know, on the loudspeakers outside of Target, I don't care. It's fine.
Do you ever look at TV and you're looking at either a car commercial or maybe a commercial for, like, coffee, and you start strumming and saying, hey, you know what? I think I could do better.
You know, no, I don't necessarily think in those terms. Like, I can do better than this person because you know, I think everyone, especially if they've made it to that point, are extremely talented. I do get inspiration from a lot of the, you know, the songs I've heard. In fact, you know, when Nick Drake's Pink Moon came on that Volkswagen commercial, I think probably like 12, 13 years ago, it really inspired me. And it was actually the first time I'd heard Nick Drake. So yeah, like I get inspiration from all kinds of things, and commercial music being one of them.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to get more inspiration from you. And we are going to hear the song Nighttime Coming Down, all that coming up next with my guest, James Bowers, right here on the Enter the Shell show. JamesRBowers.com is where you can find him at. I saw a quote with you, James, that said that you've quit trying to be clever.
Yeah.
In your writing.
Yeah. When I played for, you know, I've been playing for a long time, and when I first started writing songs, I mean, geez, even 5 years ago, I was still trying to, you know, do what was kind of trendy, or, you know, or write a pop song because, you know, someone told me I should write a pop song, or, you know, anything that would necessarily further my career commercially, when half these songs I cringed when I had to play them. And so trying to be clever, I guess, is more than just, you know, trying to write witty lyrics or anything like that. It was trying to, trying to get an edge in the market or find my niche, which isn't what it should be about anyway. And I think a lot of people do make it about that. And I think a lot of times the music industry can make it about that. And, you know, it's just about what I like to write and what I think people want to hear. And, you know, if they want to hear what I have to write, that's great. So
when you're writing and, you know, you would just happen to come up with a very clever line, do you say, oh, that's too clever, and then you cross it out, no, and then restart?
It's not even that. It's just, it has to come organically. I've always been a writer too. And so it was just, you know, when I try to, when I, here's the telltale. If I would write a line and kind of do a little, I'm like a little chuckle to myself, I'm like, okay, that's crap. I'm gonna get rid of that. And it's just, you know, there's a quote by Charles Bukowski, and he said, an artist says something or takes a very complicated thing and says it in a simple way. It's something along those lines. Don't quote me exactly because I totally boggled it. But just that idea that, you know, just tell it as simple as possible and people will respond to it is really the kind of core of what I want to do.
And people have been responding. Tell me about your live shows.
Yeah, I've played a few shows recently. Two of them, they were a week apart at Hotel Cafe. Both had really, really great turnouts. Adrian played one of them. James played both of them. And then Adrian's brother, who's a violinist, who's a very great violinist also, he stepped in for one while Adrian was off, you know, being a rock star. They all had really good reception. People really responded to them. So I've been really kind of blessed with the support that has started to come my way.
I saw also that when you're not, you know, out gallivanting, being a Uber musician.
Oh, I gallivant a lot.
I could tell. But when you're not doing that, you're a bartender, correct?
Yeah. I definitely sling drinks behind the stick. you know, it's for as much as I would want to get away from, you know, service industry and all that, a lot of the good things that have happened to me and the good people that are still in my life have come through bartending and waiting tables and all of that. So for as much as I'd like my career to progress, I'm also really thankful and grateful for everything that's come to me as a result of, you know, kind of buckling down and doing an honest day's work.
Now, I saw that you made a drink and you entered it into a contest. And this drink, it should have won, but I could tell you why it didn't win. Because you used beet juice. And I understand that it was all, you know, it was the Dwight Schrute,
you know,
kind of concept. And, you know, because he owns a beet farm and stuff like that. And I got that. It was great. But at the same time, I've had beet juice. And I you know, to me, it just wasn't appealing.
Well, okay, you say that now, but had you had this cocktail, you would definitely think twice. There's a really good, because, you know, beet, this is funny that we're talking about beet juice right now, but beets have a lot of sugar in them. And so when combined with, you know, like some vodka and honey and lemon, it really brightens it up. And it was a fantastic cocktail. I was quite proud of it.
Maybe next time you're on, we can recreate that magical cocktail.
I will happily do that for you.
That's a deal. So while you're out, you know, cocktailing around, do you draw inspiration in your lyrics from the drunken, you know, events that are unfolding between your eyes?
Not so. No, I very rarely take inspiration from the drunkards that I see when I'm bartending. It's more so from the experiences I have when I'm the drunkard. In fact, I have a song that's not on this EP, but it's going to be on the next album. It's called Whiskey Road, and it's very much about one of those nights where, you know, where I woke up, you know, with blood on my sheets because I'd fallen down and scraped my legs and knees, and you know, had a massive headache, and I was just kind of wondering who I should apologize to. You know, I definitely wrote a song about that, and so yeah, I tend to take more inspiration from my shortcomings than somebody else's. Yes.
Now, it's interesting that you are what I like to call, besides a bartender, they're also called mixologists, right?
That word is a very funny word.
It is, and I found it funny because the next song that you're going to play, Regrets, Damnations, and Dreams, kind of incorporates that, because these are three different songs that you mix together, correct?
They actually came from a few different songs that I did put together. Yeah, I'd written this chorus when I was going through a really bad relationship part that, you know, and it was literally a 2-second chorus. And I just kept playing it like in an angry way. And that was sitting on the shelf for probably about 2 years. And then, you know, slowly but surely, the other parts, and I do this a lot where I'll have songs that I've shelved and then I'll look back and be like, you know, that chorus is really great. Not so much about the verses or, you know, that bridge is awesome. Not so much about the chorus. And you know, I try to recycle, you know,
right.
I'm a green musician.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break and we are going to put you in the celebrity corner.
Ooh.
And then, be very afraid. But right after we hear the song that we were talking about, Regrets, Damnations, and Dreams, and we're going to have more with my guest, James Bowers, right here on the Enter the Shell show.
Takes my soul. Your beauty is criminal. You gave this look to me. So I song sing about you not existing, no faith in me.
Now time to get into the celebrity corner. And you guys are all from LA, right?
Originally? Or
well, now.
Yes. Now we are.
Right? Are you guys familiar with a very up-and-coming band that's kind of taking the scene? They're called Dead Sarah.
No.
You're familiar with them? Well, get this. They just announced that they are unable to play the remaining dates of the Vans Warped Tour due to their guitarist who recently fractured her ribs. So they're just, you know, taking the time off instead of going out and playing. And this is good. I like this because a lot of times bands try to strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah.
And they sacrifice their bodies to continue to play. And I want to know if you guys have ever sacrificed your body, you know, to continue playing. Or do you take time off just like the band?
I'm lucky in the fact that I haven't really had any major injuries or anything that would have prevented me from playing any of the shows that I've had scheduled. But I mean, then again, I have the luxury right now of not having, well, I don't know if you call it luxury, but I don't have huge tours, you know, lined up for me. So I guess I haven't been presented with that problem. I guess no. Short answer.
But it's important. Do you know when to say when?
Yeah, I think if it was at the expense of something, you know, that could really cause me long-term, you know, pain or suffering, I probably would definitely have to consider. Would I necessarily cancel? I don't know. I'm not presented with that situation. I'm sure with her, you know, broken ribs, that's not something that is easily healed unless you're, you know, resting. So I can understand at 100% why they would cancel.
Are you familiar with the band Iron Maiden?
Yeah.
So recently, Bruce Dickinson, he got mad at one of the fans while he was performing. And it seemed that one of the fans was on his phone for at least 3 performances, and he called him out on it. And this is a very interesting time in our lives where the phone is kind of dominating the world. And I want to know how you look at the phone while you're playing. Do you look at your fans and do you get mad at them? Or does that even venture into your mind? You're just too much in the moment.
It's not so much. I don't know if I'd necessarily be as upset if someone was just on their phone, but it's more the talking. You know, people, I'll be playing at Hotel Cafe or something, which is a music venue. I mean, it's people go there to listen to music, and sometimes it's like the rowdiest club that you've ever been into, and you can barely hear yourself on stage because everyone is shouting so much. I have this really good friend named Tom Schrader, and he has he'll unplug his guitar, and he'll start playing through the audience, and he'll find the people who are talking and start playing directly in front of them and singing right in front of them until they shut up, which I think is a brilliant thing to do. Half the time I wish just, you know, people would shut up a little and just take a listen, which I guess includes, you know, talking on your phone and being immersed in your technology.
Right? It's like you're here at a show. You're not supposed to be distracted by technology. You're here to observe the music.
Experience the world. That's what, you know, that's the main thing. I think we're all just so tied to our phones and our computers and our iPads that everyone is losing kind of touch with, you know, just the rest of the world and social interaction and things like that. So myself included, really.
So get this, the Olympics are pretty much underway, right? You heard about those things. And it's very interesting because, as you all know, all the Olympians, they stay at this place called like Olympic Village, right? Where they get bused to their events and stuff like that. Well, I don't know if you know this, but it's now called like a sex haven because all the Olympians they go there and, you know, they're all kind of rooming together and stuff, and it turns into kind of a big orgy. And it's interesting because their stamina must be like ridiculous first and foremost. And as a matter of fact, for the Village, they ordered 100,000 condoms.
I wonder who has the most stamina. You think it's like the long distance runners?
No.
Or like the shot putter?
No, I think it's the swimmers.
Okay, yeah.
The swimmers.
Michael Phelps is like cleaning up.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, with all these people just doing all these orgies, I think it's time that we all join an Olympic sport immediately for next year so we could partake in this fun activity.
Yeah, I read that story and I didn't find it too shocking. I mean, you know, you're in a space with a bunch of other people. You don't really know the area that you're in, so you're locked in with all these people. It's like, you know, it's bound to happen. It's like a dorm. It's like a college dorm.
I wonder how many people go straight for the gymnastics, you know, people.
I suspect a couple.
Yeah, right. One or two. Okay, it's now time to see if you can guess who this week's artist of the week is. Hey. So I'm going to give you some clues. And let's see if you can guess who this week's artist of the week is. Now, this is your first clue. This is the last Friday of the month. So every last Friday of the month, we do a legend series. So automatically, that weans out tons and tons of artists, bands, musicians. So this person is pretty much iconic.
Okay.
Okay?
Iggy Pop.
Yeah, done. No.
Yes.
Okay, now let me give you the clues. Okay, this is your first clue. This artist was an American soul singer, songwriter, record producer, arranger, and talent scout. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so you already kind of know that this is a soul singer, songwriter. Yeah, so that narrows it down. Okay. Okay, check this out. His open-throated singing was an influence on other soul singers of the 1960s. So there you go. We got kind of the 60s era, you know, and it's a guy.
Open-throated.
Open-throated, very influence. Okay, and get this, this singer was born and raised in the American state of Georgia. Do you know who this is?
What is it? Would it be Ray Charles?
No.
No.
It is not. You're very close. I can't tell you who.
Oh, come
on. But I'll tell you what. Check the blog section on Friday and see who we pick.
Oh, this is a person that's still alive, I imagine.
What? I don't know about that. Oh, no, I don't know about that.
You're the worst.
And see who we picked as the legend of the month. Okay, we got shout outs next, and we find out the moral of the show, all that coming up next. But first, we're going to hear another song by James Bowers, and this song is entitled 17.
Bow, see your candle, blow them out, smile at everyone softer than you'd allow. In your hair, say a prayer, but don't let anyone know it's there. Your head to the twilight, let yourself stare. Memories fade away when you were free. Waterfall, and I watched it all. You smiled at me with your broken grin as the time was spent. As the time was spent, I reached on down and I kissed your face with a warm embrace. A warm embrace, and I said goodbye. Said goodbye. Say hello. Say goodbye. Say goodbye. When you were free. Thank you.
right, it's now time for shout-outs. And do you guys have any shout-outs that you guys would like to give?
Yeah, just my EP. The EP is available on iTunes, Amazon. Go check it out. And you've already definitely plugged my website, jamesrbowers.com. Remember the R, because jamesbowers.com is another musician who plays like ambient yoga music. And there's been a few people who've confused that, and they come back to me like, oh, your music was interesting. I'm like, okay, it's not the same person. So just remember the R in the middle.
What's the R for, by the way?
It's my middle name, Randolph.
Randolph.
Yeah, so.
Randolph Bowers has a good name to it, too. I'm just, you know.
Hey, you know, we could, maybe that's the next album. It'd be like one of those artists who changes their name for each album.
A la Cougar Mellencamp.
Exactly. Or what was it when Garth Brooks released the album under Chris Gaines? There you go.
Do you guys have any shout-outs?
Shout-out to my friends. Everybody listening.
Shout-out to my mom, who's the one that had me play cello in the first place after I destroyed my violin with drumsticks at 3. Then I switched to cello. So I just want to say thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Okay, now I feel bad. I feel like I should shout out to my mom as well, to my sister, my brothers.
Oh, wait, and my mom.
Wait a second. And my grandma. My dad. Wait a second. I need to say hi to my
cello
mom.
Teacher.
My mom. My dad. My stepmom. My stepdad.
My husky Bella.
Oh, my dog Alice. Okay, we can just, this is going to go on forever now.
I got a few shout outs that I would like to give out to Tim Shainalls, who was here but then left. He's very magical. So
he seemed magical.
He is pretty magical. Also, this great audio that you're listening to is by the hands of Steve Sculler. So thank you, Steve, for handling all the audio.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Major stud.
You're awesome.
And do you guys have smartphones?
I do have a smartphone, yeah.
Yes. Do you have Stitcher on it?
Stitcher?
Stitcher?
Mm. No.
What exactly is Stitcher?
Yeah. It's not smart enough. You guys need to step up your game.
I guess so.
And go to Stitcher.com. And from there, like I was saying earlier, phones are taking over the world. And from there, you could stream the entire Enter the Shell podcast network, where not only do you get this spectacular show, but you get a few other shows you know, that you could stream straight to your phone. So no matter where you're at, you can always be listening to yours truly, as well as the various casts.
You have a very warming voice, so I'm going to definitely have to download that, so just so I can...
Nice.
Can hear that.
Or you can always do it the old-fashioned way and just log on to entertheshell.com, right-click, save as, you know?
There you go.
It's so sad that that's old-fashioned.
Well, I don't even have a right-click. I have a Mac.
Oh. Yeah, I have a Mac, too.
I think you have to do command-click
like
or control-click.
It's like command, Apple, something or other. Yeah. Like, I always have to look it up in the instruction manual somehow.
That's what I do.
With a Mac, you know? It's a little different.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, luckily, we are on iTunes, and there's a link on Enter the Shell. So for all you Mac users, you could just download it straight from iTunes. Just look for the Enter the Shell Podcast Network logo, and from there on the website, you can download us. What do you guys think of the studio, NoHo 2?
It's cool. I like all the artwork that's on the walls and everything. I like this old Wurlitzer you got over here.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing I saw, and I gravitated to it. I think he saw me walk over there, just, you know, play a couple little rink-a-dink tunes on it.
Well, if you ever want to, you know, come back and play the Wurlitzer, or there's a lot of musicians that come here on the weekdays and the weekends. If you ever feel like stopping on by, go ahead, feel free. And log on to noho2.com and speak with Mark Doty if you ever want to book this place for a private gig, or you might even want to, you know, do a video release party or something like that. So
cool.
Speak Mark Doty, noho2.com. Okay, I've trotted out the Demoralizer 3000, and it's now time to find out the moral of the show. Let me start it up and say a few magical words so we can find out the moral of today's show. Olympics, radio, Wyoming, drunkard, phone, hotel cafe, beet juice, clever, injury, Tim Shainalls, and Sex Haven. That means it's done if you can rip open up that envelope and read us the moral of today's show.
Okay. And the moral for this week is, I think the theme of this summer is Shitting in weird locations.
There it is.
Like, do I need to partake in
have you not this summer?
Not this summer, but I mean, you know, I'm sure it's one summer. There you go.
No, not in equipment. Do not shit in equipment.
I have my cajon in my trunk.
That's perfect, though, because it has the circle exactly. And yeah. It's hollow inside.
People have confused that for a trash can in some clubs. That I'm not even joking.
JamesRBowers.com. We are going to leave you now with Nothing. That's the song. That's the name
of
the song.
That is the song.
We're not going to just walk away.
Smited and cursed and shouted blasphemy.
That's going to wrap it up for another edition of the Enter the Shell Show, and we are out of here. Later.